listening to Book Insights, brought to you by Memode, finding and simplifying the world's most powerful ideas to fit into your lifestyle. Each episode is a deep dive into a nonfiction bestseller that can change your life or make you think. In around 30 minutes, you'll learn all about a book that offers wisdom for your life, career, or business. So get ready to live and work smarter, better, and happier with Book Insights.
Many of us will go through our lives carrying rigid ideas about ability, potential, and success. You're either smart or you're not. If you're not born with a natural flair for music, you're never going to make it as a musician. These may look like truths about life, but they aren't. These statements reflect what Dr. Carol S. Dweck calls the fixed mindset. In her seminal 2006 bestseller, Mindset, The New Psychology of Success, Dweck introduces us to the science of mindsets. While the fixed mindset propagates a talent is fixed viewpoint, its antidote, the growth mindset, champions the cause of honing talent. In the UK, the subtitle is Changing the Way You Think to Fulfill Your Potential. Dweck is one of the foremost researchers in the fields of social and personality psychology. Dweck's theory of mindset is based on decades of research. Many schools and teachers across the U.S. have adopted her research on mindsets to improve their students' learning processes and deal with menaces like bullying. In this book insight, we'll explore the key three themes in mindset. 1. What is the psychology of mindsets? Dweck explains the difference between the two mindsets, fixed and growth. She also busts some myths around ability and achievement. 2. How do mindsets work in the real world? Dweck lines up case studies in sport, business, and relationships to examine how mindsets manifest outside of the laboratory. 3. From fixed to growth mindset. In the last segment of the book, Dweck provides a primer on passing on the growth mindset to children. She also gives direction to the reader on how to inculcate the growth mindset in their lives. We'll conclude by taking a wider look at the context around the book, its impact, and any potential criticisms. As a young researcher, Dweck was mesmerized by people who rose to the occasion and surmounted challenges. She became obsessed with understanding how people cope with failures. To uncover how their minds worked, she called on a group of young students at their school. Here is Dweck herself during her TED Talk.
I gave 10-year-olds problems that were slightly too hard for them. Some of them reacted in a shockingly positive way. They said things like, "I love a challenge."
In the beginning of the book, Dweck finds it important to familiarize readers with the historical nature versus nurture debate. Early on, many experts believed that human beings were either smart or dumb. They either succeeded or they didn't. Their genes determined their fate. Alfred Binet developed the first IQ test in Paris in the early 20th century. He also thought differently regarding genetic smarts. He was tasked by the French Ministry of Education to devise a method to determine which students didn't learn effectively with standard schooling. The aim was to devise new education systems to help these students and give them special attention. Contrary to the popular belief, Binet did not believe one's intelligence is fixed at birth. In his 1909 book, Modern Ideas About Children, Binet says, "With practice, training, and above all, method, we manage to increase our attention, our memory, our judgment, and literally to become more intelligent than we were before." Later, scientists confirmed Binet's intuition that our traits arise out of a complex interplay between our genes and the environment. Fast forward to Dweck's mindsets. They work a little bit like the nature versus nurture schools of thought. If you possess a fixed mindset, you feel you're blessed with a set amount of intelligence, and you must let the entire world know that. When you lean toward a growth mindset, you start with your basic skill set and cultivate it through effort. It's not so much what you have that matters, but what you can add and develop. For an experiment, Dweck painted a scenario to a group of people. Within a single day, they got a C+ on a test, received a parking ticket, and got ignored by a friend. People with the fixed mindset said things such as this, "I'm a total failure," and "I'm an idiot." Self-talk of people with the growth mindset looked like this, "I need to try harder in class, be more careful when parking the car, and wonder if my friend had a bad day. The people in the former camp aren't born pessimists, and they don't lack self-esteem. When they're having a good day, they think they're great, but their fixed mindset hinders their ability to cope with perceived failure. Do mindsets start young? Probably. Dweck conducted a study with 4-year-olds. She gave them an easy jigsaw puzzle to solve. Kids with a fixed mindset wanted to redo the same puzzle, the one they know. Children with the growth mindset wanted to tackle a harder one. The fixed mindset has a crystal clear goal: success. For the growth mindset, though, success is about growing, and that sometimes only happens when you've sampled failure. These differences are reflected in the brain's wiring. When the researchers told people with a fixed mindset whether or not they had fared well on a task, their brains lit up. But when the researchers offered them feedback, there was no activity in their brains. That wasn't the case with the individuals who showed a growth mindset. You can see mindsets playing out in the business world. Lee Iacocca, former CEO of Chrysler Motors, was a fixed mindset company chief. He kept repeating models with little changes, overlooking consumer demand. Very soon, innovative Japanese car companies took over the market. On the other hand, Lou Gerstner took over IBM when it was suffering. He chose to focus on its long-term growth rather than success measured in stock prices, even as Wall Street mocked him. Gerstner's focus on growth and new areas of business were, in time, rewarded. Dweck argues that people with the fixed mindset have a skewed idea about their own abilities. They feel they're better than others or disproportionately worse. Case in point, tennis legend John McEnroe. McEnroe admitted in an interview that he took undue advantage of his number one ranking. He didn't like to learn, and when things got tough, he folded. His screaming fits against umpires, agents, and others indicated a person who hated anyone challenging his self-perceived supremacy. He had a fixed idea of his powers, and so any criticism seemed to threaten his very sense of self. This attitude can be dangerous sometimes. French chef Bernard Loiseau was instrumental in popularizing nouvelle cuisine in France in the 70s, a way of cooking that advocated lighter and fresher dishes, sacrificing traditional ingredients like cream and cheese. He was celebrated in the food industry. Loiseau owned a 3-Michelin-star-rated restaurant in Burgundy, but when he lost a couple of points on another prestigious guide, he started to fear for his position on the Michelin guide. He couldn't deal with the stress, and in 2003, he took his own life. Dweck explains, people with the fixed mindset can get too attached to their material success. They're devastated when they lose it. By this point in the book, most readers have questions. Dweck tries to address them. Why do fixed mindset people feel the need to keep proving themselves day in and day out? Dweck says that's because every day presents them with new and harder problems, and hence they feel the need to prove themselves over and over again. In this episode, we began our exploration into Carol S. Dweck's mindset. We learned about fixed mindsets and growth mindsets. A person with a fixed mindset feels they have a set amount of intelligence and either takes criticism poorly or ignores it entirely. A person with a growth mindset starts with that set amount, then endeavors to cultivate it through effort. They take criticism and learn from it. In the next part, we'll continue our discussion on mindset. We'll ask the question, can we change a fixed mindset? Then we'll look into mindsets in the real world.
Enjoying this episode of Book Insights? If so, keep listening and learning. There's a collection of over 100 titles you can read or listen to now at memodapp.com/insights. That's memodapp.com/insights.
Are mindsets fixed, or can we change? Carol S. Dweck says most people have a mix of both fixed and growth mindsets. In her best-selling book, Mindset, Dweck starts people in one of the 2 mindset categories for simplicity's sake. Even a fixed mindset person will show some growth mindset decisions. The knowledge of the 2 mindsets helps us become aware of the times we choose the fixed mindset by default. In this episode, we'll continue our dive into mindset by asking how we go about changing. Then we'll ask the question, how do mindsets work in the real world? Dweck is careful to note that the growth mindset isn't about sailing through life while negative emotions glide off of you like water off a duck's back. She says, even in the growth mindset, failure can be a painful experience, but it doesn't define you. It's a problem to be faced, dealt with, and learned from. In the third chapter, Dweck busts some myths about ability and achievement. Take the case of Thomas Edison. Most people think he was a loner working quietly in his backyard lab who invented a light bulb one day. Well, that's not what happened. He had 30 assistants who labored away in a modern lab. The bulb wasn't invented overnight, but was a result of several incremental inventions over a period of years. When we talk about others' success, we forget to talk about the process. Dweck cites an interesting study by educational scientist Benjamin Bloom. He studied a cohort of 120 people, an eclectic mix of musicians, athletes, and doctors who had achieved spectacular success. He found that very few were regarded as remarkable during their childhood. However, they blossomed once they found the right resources. Bloom noted, "What any person in the world can learn, almost all persons can learn if provided with the appropriate prior and current conditions of learning." Next, Dweck veers into the territory of labels. While positive labels can encourage people to explore their abilities, some kind of positive labels can be harmful. For example, saying things such as, "You're so smart," only reinforce the fixed mindset stereotype that intelligence is a gift and can't be cultivated. In one of her studies, students who were lavished with such praise didn't take on challenging tasks because they were afraid of failure. When the researchers praised students for their effort, on the other hand, they wanted to take on a harder test. Here is Dweck during her TED Talk.
"And if they didn't pass a course, they got the grade, not yet. And I thought that was fantastic. Because if you get a failing grade, you think, I'm nothing, I'm nowhere. But if you get the grade not yet, you understand that you're on a learning curve."
In sports, many agents and coaches scout grounds in search of naturals. They're stuck in a fixed mindset that either you're a born athlete or you're not. When Muhammad Ali was starting out in boxing, he didn't have the kind of physical endowments, broad chest, strong fists, that are considered natural. However, Ali shocked everyone when he beat Sonny Liston, who was then the world heavyweight champion. Ali liked to study his opponents, not just in the ring, but also off it. That really helped him plan his strategies during the fights. In hindsight, we applaud Ali for his physique, and when he became famous, everyone forgot about his process. While the sports world is gung-ho about gifts, it's clear from Ali's story, and so many others that practice, sharp thinking and physical training are more important than talent or raw physical resources, which are just a starting point. Moreover, character beats flair any day. At the 2000 Wimbledon final, tennis star Pete Sampras faced Australian Patrick Rafter. Sampras hadn't had a stellar tournament, and he was nervous about the final. Moreover, there was added pressure on him to topple Roy Emerson's record of 12 straight top wins. When he was on the brink of defeat, Sampras took a quick mental break and reminded himself of the times when he had clawed his way back into a match after losing a couple of sets. It helped him regain his confidence, and he went on to win. Dweck's team studied a large cohort of Fortune 500 and 1,000 firms. They surveyed a number of employees at all the organizations and asked questions about their company culture. They discovered that people who worked in growth mindset companies trusted their colleagues and bosses more. They also felt a sense of belonging toward the company and were committed to its mission. On the other hand, people in the fixed mindset corporations were plotting their exit. Surprisingly, mindsets also apply to love and relationships. Dweck conducted a study with more than 100 individuals. She asked them to recall a heartbreak. The research team then followed up with questions about their coping strategies. The rejection had completely warped the self-image of people with the fixed mindset. They thought they were never going to find love again. They also spent a lot of time hatching plans to seek revenge on their ex-lover. On the other hand, for people with a growth mindset, forgiveness was key. They were terribly hurt by rejections as well, but they wanted to learn from that experience and put it behind them. When it comes to relationships, people with the fixed mindset believe in certain myths. For example, if a relationship takes effort, it's not meant to be. The fixed mindset people have really fallen for the Hollywood fairy tale. Once you find your soulmate, you're going to live happily ever after. They lay too much emphasis on chemistry. Once there is intense love and passion, that's enough to propel the relationship. Consistent with this, people with a fixed mindset in love think that relationship problems can't be fixed. If there is a problem, then it's either their or the partner's fault. Whatever it may be, the relationship is just doomed. The fact is, though, while certain problems can be deal-breakers, infidelity, abuse, there are others that can be worked out. As the writer and philosopher Alain de Botton says, love, particularly in the long term, isn't an enthusiasm, it's a skill. But fixed mindset people get too nervous when problems arise and start looking for a way out. Dweck demolishes the myth of the one. There is no perfect person who is waiting to find us. Everyone we fall in love with will have their own set of strengths and weaknesses. There is no flaw-free partner. Therefore, good relationships are always about learning and adapting. People with a growth mindset are not surprised about this. Dweck shares a heartwarming tale from her family that goes to show that relationships, no matter how fractured, can evolve for the better. Dweck says bluntly, "My mother didn't love me." Her mother was absent emotionally from Dweck's childhood, and so she carried resentment about it into adulthood. At one point, Dweck decided she had to get past the blame and try to repair the relationship. She realized that the least she could do was be a good daughter, despite all her mother's flaws. As she reopened the lines of communication with her mother, most of Dweck's bitterness melted away. But something else also happened. Her mother owned up to her mistake. The mother said, "If anyone had told me I didn't love my children, I would have been insulted. But now I realize it was true." Dweck enjoyed a meaningful relationship with her mother until she died 25 years later. It's easy to get wrapped up in blame, but our problems don't necessarily go away because we've passed the buck on to someone else. In relationships, as in everything else, fixed views tend to bring failure. Mindsets even influence our natural temperament. Some people are shy, but there are different kinds of shy people in the world. Psychologist Jennifer Beer did a study of hundreds of shy people. Here's what she found. Shy people who demonstrated a fixed mindset were too afraid of social rejection. They either didn't go out much, or even if they did, they weren't able to hold conversations with people at gatherings. Shy people who had a growth mindset operated differently. Even though they experienced the initial jitters when interacting with new people, they were able to move through the anxiety and enjoy those conversations. These individuals also tried meeting new people more often. They acknowledged their personality flaw, but continued to challenge it. In this episode, we continued our dive into Carol S. Dweck's mindset. We learned that we can grow from our fixed mindsets into growth ones. We have to appreciate the process of effortful growth over a rigid acceptance that things never change. Then we looked at mindsets in the day-to-day. In business, athletics, and relationships, a growth mindset makes you more open to trust, self-discovery, and forgiveness. Settling into a fixed mindset can court complacency, bitterness, and failure. Next time, we'll conclude our book Insight into Mindset. We'll commit to changing gears from a fixed to a growth mindset. Then we'll consider the wider implications of the book.
Enjoying this episode of Book Insights? If so, keep listening and learning. There's a collection of over 100 titles you can read or listen to now at memodapp.com/insights. That's memodapp.com/insights.
In the final chapter of Carol S. Dweck's Mindset, she dwells on the nature of change. Change begins by mastering self-talk. In the fixed mindset, people are overcome by internal monologues. "I failed this test, so I'm a loser." Or, "I didn't get into Harvard. I don't think I'm cut out for the sciences." In the growth mindset, the mind chatter tends to differ. "It sucks to fail in this test, but I think I should really try to focus harder for the next one." It's this kind of acceptance that is the seed of success. In admitting where we are lacking, this drives us forward to get the skills or knowledge we need to achieve a goal. Dweck takes a deep dive into the topic of praise, how it can influence children and their personal growth. For example, kids who constantly get compliments such as, "You're so smart," can develop a resistance toward challenges. The praise feels good and provides them with an instant ego boost. However, over the long term, appearing smart and gifted become more important to them than actually cultivating their natural talents. So if they anticipate failure in a task, they wouldn't even try or not try it again because people may think they're not smart or gifted. Here is Dweck during a TED Talk.
First of all, we can praise wisely, not praising intelligence or talent. That has failed. Don't do that anymore, but praising the process that kids engage in.
Not praising children or even adults for their intelligence or flair does sound counterintuitive. Wouldn't you want your beloved child to know that they dance like a dream? Wouldn't that instill them with supreme confidence? Dweck's answer is no. What should they do instead? She says, if parents want to give their children a gift, the best thing they can do is to teach their children to love challenges, be intrigued by mistakes, enjoy effort, seek new strategies, and keep on learning. That way, their children don't have to be slaves of praise. They will have a lifelong way to build and repair their own confidence. Dweck isn't trying to deter parents from praising their kids at all, but there's a better way to do it. You can appreciate them for their diligence and persistence. For example, if your daughter comes home with an A+, instead of saying, "You are so brilliant," you can say, "I really appreciate how hard you work to perform well on this test." If they don't perform well, you could commend their work and propose that they need to still work on a few more areas. Parents also need to unlearn being judgmental. For example, many parents push their kids to get into an Ivy League university because that is their definition of success. It's possible that the kid is more interested in taking painting classes at a local community college, but that would mean his parents would criticize him and judge him. So he may feel compelled to apply to the big-name universities just to please them. That's a recipe for disaster and future mental health problems for this kid. Teachers also play a critical role in teaching mindsets to kids. Great teachers set the bar high for their students. They appreciate talent, but they're more interested in the learning process. Even if someone may not appear very talented, they like to experiment and see how they can enable that student to attain mastery in her subjects. Growth-minded teachers set high standards not just for students who show promise, but for those who are yet to shine. Fixed-mindset teachers, on the other hand, will choose their favorites based on the first few tests and start ignoring the kids who don't score well initially. But their work doesn't end at setting high standards. Great teachers actually help their students reach those standards. This requires tremendous planning and effort. For example, Marva Collins, a teacher from Chicago who was featured on 60 Minutes, set the bar high. She made her students read and discuss every line of Macbeth. One of her favorite lines is, "If you can't make a mistake, you can't make anything." Praising effort is not a magic pill. You have to help them also see where their effort lacked and what they could do better. Dweck also doesn't appreciate when teachers tell their kids that they are capable of doing anything they want. Yes, it is possible to get better at what you do, but it's not as simple as you can do anything. You have to also point them toward the resources they're going to need along the way and actually help them hone their skills. In this book insight, we broke down Carol S. Dweck's mindset. We learned the psychology of mindsets. A fixed mindset takes on face value the intelligence, effort, and skill they have to offer. A person with this mindset takes criticism poorly or ignores it entirely. A growth mindset takes what is intrinsically there, then grows upon it. A person with this mindset takes criticism and learns from it. This applies to everyday occurrences, from one's love life to their professional aspirations. A fixed mindset will shy away from new challenges, preferring to rest on their laurels. They may give up when the going gets tough. Fortunately, we're capable from growing into a growth mindset by acknowledging that it's a trying process. We can encourage a growth mindset in our children by encouraging effort over results. Everyone's desires are different, so a strong piece of the growth mindset is in avoiding judgmental behavior. Dweck's idea of mindsets is based on decades of research and it's been corroborated by numerous other researchers. Mindset is an essential companion read for Charles Duhigg's 2012 bestseller, The Power of Habit. When readers start to apply the growth mindset in various facets of their lives, they'll realize it requires them to institute many positive changes and habits. Many popular self-help books, such as Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, aren't based on research evidence and are solely based on the author's experience. While many authors emphasize the importance of dreaming and setting goals, they don't investigate the process of reaching those goals. That's where Dweck wins. She helps readers map out the process. She keeps in mind the emotional health of her readers at all times. For example, she wants us to feel disappointment when we fail, not try to gloss over it before thinking about our next steps. Even in Dweck's world of self-improvement, vulnerability is essential. Dweck has also faced a fair share of criticism. Many people have pointed out that her research isn't replicable and hasn't ever been successfully replicated, a key factor in determining the validity of a test and its results. Nick Brown, who co-developed the Grimm test to establish the infallibility of statistical analysis, found several inconsistencies in Dweck's research. But in true mindset form, Dweck opened up a dialogue with Brown and accepted his criticisms. Brown praised her openness and willingness to address the problems. A team from Case Western Reserve University conducted analyses of the effects of mindset training on school students and found only a tiny positive effect on academic performance. But Dweck maintains that growth mindset interventions do have a real effect, particularly on low-achieving students. Time will tell if her theory is worth spending money on to implement in schools. However, the fixed growth distinction rings true for many people, and they can observe it in their own children. Dweck accepts that it isn't always possible to have a growth mindset, and it won't solve every problem, but it is always there as an option, a different path to the future. For Dweck, it has made her a more alive, courageous, and open person. What could it do for you?
Thank you for listening to Book Insights. Check out the rest of our content at memodap.com. Please keep in mind that the information provided in or through our Book Insights episodes is for educational and informational purposes only. It's not intended to be a substitute for advice given by qualified professionals and should not be relied upon to disregard or delay seeking professional advice.